Well, good morning, and good morning to our new participants, Alana and Cheryl. We are doing a whole year on the 10 Oxfording pictures, and we do one a month. So this is the first day of the third picture. So this is what we're going to be reflecting upon and practicing with for the month of April. And the purpose today here at the Sunday Sit is to introduce the third picture. And we want everyone to have an opportunity to just get a time to reflect in their own individual personal way, receive the picture in its verse, and see what comes up for each of us individually. And then we will be able to share all these different views and senses of what the picture is offering us. Some of you might have already looked at or even studied this picture. You may have read some commentaries by experts, but as with other works of art, each experience is a new experience. As you might find that today, different images or words rise to your attention. There's no one correct interpretation. There are a wide variety of valuable interpretations possible. People will respond with varying degrees of enthusiasm and resonances with the picture, and that's okay. We welcome different learning styles, and no one is turned away because the Oxfording pictures are challenging to their learning style. We can share with each other and gain insights that we might not have seen or read originally. So this is really a group participation effort today. The pictures were created by a Zen master in the 12th century to help the monks understand how they were moving along the path, their path toward awakening. And each of us can look at these pictures and ask, how is this picture speaking to me about my path to awakening? Where have I been? Where am I going? How does this picture connect to my practice? As we ponder and discuss the meaning of the pictures each week together, we can feel the connection to other seekers along the Dharma path and recognize that we're not alone. Others have been here before, and that can help us build trust in the path and confidence in ourselves as seekers. So today, as I said, we're introducing picture three, but let's take a moment to recap where we've been. Suze, could you share, screen share, searching for the bowl, picture one? Thank you. Okay. This is just a recap. In this picture, we notice the ox herder's uncertainty. Her feet are facing forward, but her head is turning back in the direction from which she came. She has to leave the known world behind because she recognizes that that world is missing a truer, deeper something. But what is that something? She has no name or concept for it. She's exhausted from searching and not finding. There's just an intimation of something pulling her heart forward, like the sound, as it says in the last line of the verse, like the sound of the locust chirping through the forest at night. So that's just a little recap of picture one, where we started out, quite uncertain where we were going and a little scared to leave the known behind. Suze, could you put up picture two, discovering the footprints? Thank you. Perfect. So there we are, discovering the footprints. In this picture, we notice that the ox herder's whole body is not only facing forward, he's looking pretty intently forward. He's on the path now, even if he doesn't quite know what's ahead. The footprints are not the ox itself, but they are traces of the ox. Maybe he's reading about the Dharma, listening to experienced teachers describe their firsthand experiences, and he's inspired by their experience. He's beginning to develop a conceptual understanding of an aspect of the Dharma that makes sense to him and seems right. He wants to know more and get closer so he can see for himself if this ox or this Dharma resonates with his heart. The environment with its fragrant grasses is a lot friendlier than the tall grasses, unnamed rivers, and distant mountains of the preceding environment. Some ease is developing. So now we're ready for picture three, perceiving the bull. In just a second, Suze will put up the picture and verse on the screen to share, but let's prepare our mindfulness and receptivity to help us engage our intuitive mind. Let's take a moment just to pause and connect with here and now. If you'd like, you can close your eyes, but you don't have to. Maybe take a breath to just relax and be open and available. Ajahn Suchito says, soften and widen. Suze, could you put up the picture for perceiving or seeing the bull? So you can open your eyes when you're ready and take some time to look at the picture. What's that picture saying to you? What's your overall impression when you look at it? Or is there a detail that strikes you or intrigues you? Just take a moment to reflect on the picture. This is the trust emergence step of insight dialogue. Trust what comes up. So now I'll read the verse twice and give you a prompt to respond to after each reading. I hear the song of the nightingale. The sun is warm, the wind is mild. Willows are green along the shore. Here, no bull can hide. What artist can draw that massive head, those majestic horns? What word or words stand out for you or puzzle you? What feeling do the words evoke in you? The second reading. I hear the song of the nightingale. The sun is warm, the wind is mild, willows are green along the shore. Here no bull can hide. What artist can draw that massive head, those majestic horns? complete the sentence. This verse invites me to it could be feel a certain emotion or feel a physical sensation or think a particular thought, ask a question, or maybe take an action. What does this, you can include the picture too. What does this picture or verse or both invite you to? So you'll be able to share your responses later in the breakout rooms and over the course of the month. You can think about how the meaning of the picture might take root in your practice. So now I'm going to share my impressions, because I'm not going to be in a breakout room, and I'm going to respond just the way you will be responding, just what spontaneously strikes me. I didn't use any expert commentaries. Those talks will come in the next weeks. But on this first week, we're just sharing our personal responses. So when I saw this picture, I don't look ahead to the pictures. I just kind of immerse myself in one picture at a time. So I had spent 2 months with the first two pictures. And so when I looked at this one, I gasped. I went, because there was nothing really solid in the first two pictures. Searching for the bull and discovering the footprints. So I'm going from nothing and there is something. So that was really a visceral, felt like a visceral experience when I saw the bull, even if it was only its back end. And I also noticed that the ox herder was not in the picture, which I think gave more weight to the body of the bull. And it made me think of the first foundation of mindfulness, the body. I remembered when I was taking the introduction to meditation class, I was trying hard to focus on my breath and the physical sensations in my body. But it was hard to let go of all the stories that my mind was constantly making up. I remember sitting and knowing I was sitting, and then the next thing I knew, I was lost in thought. Back to the breath, back to my hands, resting on my thighs, then lost in thought again. And so it went, lost and found and lost again. But in that process, I started slowly to see that there is a body and it is not a thought. It is not thinking. There is something else. And I didn't really see that before. Most of the time, I was still captivated by the world my mind was creating, but I was starting to call these thoughts stories instead of the truth, capital T-R-U-T-H. There was something else that I could be mindful of that would give me a space between my thoughts and me. And that was pretty powerful. It was a sense of a different ground and it had promise. I had glimpses, even if only for a few seconds, of a not thought. And it was very important. I found mindfulness The verse says, here no bull can hide. I think that this might mean that an aspiration for direct experience has been ignited at this point. When we are motivated to see with the help of mindfulness for ourselves. Ultimately, the truth can't hide from us. We still might have a lot of investigating ahead to penetrate to the depths of truth, but we're seeing that this is the way of practice on this path. It's ahipasako. We have to see for ourselves and know it in our bones and heart. So maybe I'm going ahead, maybe this isn't the third picture, but I do remember there was just something, I just got such a little bit that there was something so powerful at this point that I won't definitely want to see the rest of that, that bull. Which brings me to the other two things I want to say about this picture that I noticed. And the second one was that the setting is even more friendly than the setting of the second picture. Conditions are really supportive. You know, I hear the song of the nightingale, the sun is warm, the wind is mild, the willows are green along the shore. It's very peaceful and friendly and supportive. And in my own path, I remember starting to feel at this point a growing connection to the Sangha. As I started to take part in discussions at the weekly sits, to do some volunteering and attend non-residential retreats on the weekend, the teachings also inspired and supported me as I read books and articles and listened to talks. And I was beginning to sense that there was the promise of a more all-encompassing refuge on this path than I had originally imagined. So that's what the supportiveness of this verse evokes in me. And then lastly, the last line of the verse was very puzzling to me because, of course, we don't see the head of in this picture. And I thought at this stage, my understanding of the teaching was just beginning. I had no idea of the totality or the power of the path. No, the power of the Dharma, the power of the teachings. And since that time, I've heard teachers talk about experiences they have had that cannot be put into words. I think of experiences of not self and emptiness, for example. So I was thinking maybe the verse alludes to the majestic or ultimate reality, being the head of the bull, and that is at one with the ordinary relative reality, which is the hind end of the bull. The truth holds both. We start where we are, where we can understand, and that's okay. In fact, that's just right. So I've been listening to some talks by Ajahn Sumedho this week, and he tells a story. I will explain, in case you don't know, Ajahn Sumedho is a very experienced monk. A monk in Thailand in the forest tradition in the 1960s, I think he was ordained. And then he was the abbot at, I can't remember the Chittavivaka or I can't remember the names of the monasteries, but they're in England. So he's kind of the most senior teacher right now in the Western Theravada forest tradition. So he told the story of learning to meditate, and he said he was in his first year, and he was in Thailand, and he was a student of Ajahn Chah, and he was trying to practice anapanasati, mindfulness of the breath, as the Buddha taught. And he was having a terrible time. His thinking mind was so dominant that focusing on the breath as an anchor was not working for him. The breath was no match for the power of his thinking mind. So Ajahn Chah gave him a thought to focus on instead. And it was a mantra, Buddho, which means Buddha. And Ajahn Chah just said, say it over and over and just keep thinking that thought and only that thought. And Ajahn Sumedho said it worked. He started, he had to say the words really fast together, Buddha, 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 or he would go off again on some elaborate thought. But gradually he was able to slow down and finally develop sati and samadhi. So I think maybe one message of this picture is that it's okay to start at the humble end of the bowl. Whatever works, we start where we are. And this is the beginning of our practice. So I am going to, that's my sharing for today. And this is an opportunity for you all to share among yourselves now in the breakout rooms. And I'm going to put four people in each room to the best of my ability. And Suze, you can take down the picture if you would, so I can see everybody. And you'll have, let's see, 10:54. You can have 20 to 25 minutes. I'll look when I think you could have 20 minutes, and then we'll come back and share. So I hope you'll stay, but if you need to leave now, let me know. So we're down to 22, and then I will do the breakout rooms based on the numbers that are left. So it looks like there are about, goodbye. Let's see who's leaving. I can't see here. I just wanted to say goodbye if somebody was leaving. Okay, we're at 20, so I'll put you into breakout groups now. And some people, is there anybody who is two besides Kathy and Cheryl? Do you see anybody, Suze?
Bruce and Sean were here before, but I think they're gone.
Okay. All right, so we'll just do...
And it's really 18 unless you put me and you in a group.
Okay, so 18. Do you want to be in a group, Suze?
No, I'll just talk with you.
Okay, 18 divided by 4 is 4 and 3. Okay, that should be good. Okay, so breakout. I was never good at math. Let's see, breakout. Oh, I forgot. I have to tell you the prompts. Just one second.
The prompts
are the same ones, basically. What is the picture saying to you? You know, your overall impression. Is there a detail that strikes you or puzzles you? What word or words seem to be important to you, and how do you feel about those words? Or you can say what the picture invites you to do. So it's just basically the same thing we were reflecting on earlier, any of those.
Here they come.
Okay, here they come. Let's see. No, we still need a few more. Oh, Cheryl, you're the new Cheryl, right?
I'm the new Cheryl.
Yeah,
nice to
meet you,
Lauren. Nice, very nice to be here.
Great. Glad to have you. We have a nice, friendly group here, so hope we'll see you again.
Definitely.
Charlotte, did you get your hair cut? It's cute. Yeah, I like it.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Even in the little box, I can see it.
Well, it was financial. I was going to a person who was charging $95 per hot haircut.
Yeah.
I couldn't continue that.
Yeah. Okay, well, Would anybody like to share some of the things? I'd like to hear what your takes were and share with others. Charlotte, great.
Yes, I'm wondering if anybody else saw the wolf hanging from the branches. It had a closed eye and it was open mouth and ears, and it was clearly like to me
a Rorschach test.
Yeah. So that intrigued me about the, maybe that was instead of the bull's head, we have the wolf. That's kind of like how our mind is sometimes. It's wolfish and it's trying to eat us up.
Very
anyway.
Interesting. Did anybody else see that? See, this is why we need to all look at it and get our different takes. Very interesting. I do see it now. Yeah. Thank you, Charlotte.
Oh, thank you.
Who else has something to share with all of us?
I was just thinking that, like you, Lauren, the initial reaction I had was one of a little shock and a visceral kind of gut reaction. And I'm new to these pictures, but that was kind of, I think, the boldness of the picture made me feel that way. And then our group sharing really drew out some other things that were more deep, but my initial reaction was more one of kind of like, oh, there it is. So yeah, kind of similar to your reaction initially, I think.
Yeah. So as Sue said, we don't need to add anything to that. It was just like, huh, that's it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like that.
Yeah. And I don't know what the gut feeling was of the shock, but, you know, I'm still exploring it a little
mm-hmm.
bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, too.
Yeah. Sharing the first time you're here, that's great. yes. Claire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
After what Charlotte said, it kind of throws my whole thing out the window. Because I was seeing, like, I gasped with joy when I saw the picture. I felt really welcomed and hopeful and happy. And then I missed the wolf.
But you can have both, you know, and this is your experience. So I think... I know when the group of the LDLs and Tuari, our guiding teacher, were all together talking about this, I was the first one to respond, and I responded about the head, you know, the last line, the massive and majestic head. And I had this idea about it because that was the first thing that I felt. And Tuari, our guiding teacher, had something totally different, but I didn't throw out my response, because there's many layers to these things, and there can be both and.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And we've talked about how these pictures are not just totally linear, you know, like from the very beginning of our spiritual journey, they just follow one by one, that we can go back to them at different layers, and like it might be a spiral. So maybe at one time it's this aspect of the picture, and another time it's this aspect of the picture. And so I think we can, you know, be with our responses, and everything's, nothing's permanent. So, you know, it can evolve into something else. But so we need to stop. We've got Amy.
Amy had her hand up.
She did. And Sue's is going to be next with the announcements. But Amy first. Amy, there you are. Oh, you need to unmute. Can you unmute?
Yes, I was hitting all sorts of buttons. I'll go fast because you need to wrap up. I also had that sort of surprise when I saw the third picture when it came up. Lauren, I really liked the way that you showed us the first and the second, and then we moved to the third. And one thing that I noticed in reflecting on it, both as you were speaking and then we were talking in our group, was the first two were of a person, and I looked at that person and I was relating to that person and thinking about my own life and reflecting on it. And then all of a sudden it's an image of something not a person. And it was just the behind too, which was even more startling to me. And I think that to me that's meaningful, that at least the initial impression is that it's outside of myself, and there is a startlement to finding the practice. And that's how I felt when I actually got my first instructions on sitting and heard my first Dharma talks 20 years ago. And one thing I shared in the group was, I don't remember what comes next in the Oxfordine pictures exactly, but I have a feeling and I'm hopeful that it's the images begin to bring the bull and the person together. And so there's this relationship that develops between the two.
Great. That's a good ending for today, because it kind of is looking for the link to the larger path. Thank you, Amy.